This episode is brought to you by the Inspire Collection by Kalia. Just because you're working out doesn't mean you shouldn't look fabulous. The Inspire Collection by Kalia was designed with both style and performance in mind. It looks good, feels good, and stays put no matter how you move. And the collection has everything you need for a day at the gym. A support bra, crop tanks, bike shorts, amazing leggings, and more. It's their most versatile collection yet. Shop the Inspire Collection by Kalia now, exclusively at Dick's Sporting Goods.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kind of Funny podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
Top of the midday to you, Greg.
Top of the midday to you. Just poured myself another huge cup of coffee. I'm ready to rock and roll, if you know what I mean. Oh, there it is.
Oh, good stuff.
Zero sugar 7-Up is what we're drinking over there, Nick.
Oh, good stuff.
When did you make this switch? Is this have I been behind on my Kind of Funny lore? I haven't seen you drink the 7-Up zero sugar.
No, this is my nighttime juice because it doesn't have caffeine in it. So when I'm gaming out there, when I'm out there on Verdansk slaying on the pavement, as the boys and girls say, nobody says that. Okay, but I like to have a little something sweet at night that doesn't keep me up all night.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. That's understandable. Did you find the Coke Zeros, the DCs, they were all keeping you up? They're keeping you too wired?
Yeah, I just drink too much of them. And then, about 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm like, what about my taxes do that next year? What's happening with my taxes a year from now? You know, I start worrying about shit I don't have to worry about. So
I can see you laying there wide awake, D's asleep next to you. It's 3 in the morning. Like, I need to worry about taxes for next year already.
I got to figure this shit out. It went fine this year. What if it doesn't go fine next year?
Exactly. Like that. Yeah. Of course, joining our trio, he is Forbes 30 under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the verified one at Tim Geddes.
But to post, I was just telling Nick, I haven't been on a show with him in what feels like forever. So this is weird.
Yeah,
this feels like coming back from summer break. I think this might be the longest Nick and I have went not being on a show together.
Really?
Like,
how long has it been?
And since I've took like a week off to go to Hawaii in 2017. I don't know. It just feels like forever.
I feel the same way. Like we were, you know, it was last week, I think, where Nick and I had a similar comment where we were talking about something on a show or a meeting. And it was the first time we had been together in a while because I'd missed whatever and yada, yada, yada. Because that crazy time of year right now. And that's the thing to do. Everybody, all three, Nick, Tim, me, Kevin, if you want to, but you guys, breathe in for a second. Just take it. I was having this similar conversation with Tim on Slack a second ago, but can you believe our little fucking company that is Kind of Funny? Can you fucking believe all the cool shit we do, the team we have, the opportunities that are presented to us each and every day right now? Like, it's crazy. When you have a moment to step back, and for me, it's that I got the script for E3 and I was talking to Tim about it. I was reading through it. No spoilers, everybody. Don't worry. Most of it's like all, hey guys, if you enjoyed what you saw on XXXX, you'll enjoy, like, you know what I mean, shit like that right now. But the fuck, like, I'm hosting E3 next week, and then you look around and Nick's streaming Verdansk every day and hosting boat shows. Tim's bringing in all sorts of just amazing deals and partnerships and things for us to do. Then you start talking about the team we have and what Roger has brought to the table and what he's editing and the things he's working on. You talk about what Mike's doing with the Twitch stuff. You talk about what Blessing's doing on game side, let alone the people who've been here even longer than that. It's like, holy fucking shit. This is a stupid idea that I pitched you guys coming back from a VidCon in an airport, right? That I wanted to talk about Oreos and eventually make a show about wings. And here we are. Holy fuck.
It took me 7 years or so, but I finally bought a cup to fit my unsatiable thirst.
Sure. Your drinking problem, as you always said. Yeah.
Oh, exactly. I thought you had like a cup holder built into your desk. I was like, why don't you just build it to whatever other cups?
No. So this thing is kind of a revolution for me, guys.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. This cup specifically, because it's what I've always wanted but didn't realize existed. And I've done quick Google searches to try to get there, but it's never led me where I want to go for all the specific reasons, because I'm very specific about this stuff. But I wanted at least 30 ounces of fluid goodness, like my beloved Trent Ice coffee, right? But the problem I have is anytime you get one of the bigger cups, it's thick all the way. It's always way too big to grab.
Sure.
This is made at the bottom part. To be able to describe, it's a normal pint glass.
Could fit into your car into
any cup holder in my theater chairs. That's a big issue. Wine glasses don't fit down here.
Sure. See, you'll remember correctly.
Not alcoholic anymore.
They had this issue with like big. They still have this issue, by the way. And this is something that Metreon needs to figure out, because last time I went to a movie 3.5 years ago, you get the big cup, and it there was a moment where it didn't fit in the actual cup holder anymore. Because yeah. it would fit in, Greg, but it didn't hold enough of it. It
wasn't secure. So
that, like 90% of it was hanging over, and then it became very top heavy. And of course,
you do that thing if somebody comes through with their fat ass
and they're just spilling it all over.
It's over. Yeah, exactly. Dunkin' soda. Everybody looks at you and says, jizz jeans. And you say, no, it's not jizz
it's
jeans.
Not jizz. And they're like, why is it sticky? And you go, I don't know. But no, Tim, that's huge right there, right? That's why, like, I love going to, like, you know, you go to like Taco Bell, you go to Del Taco, whatever, specifically, and they've got the big mega cup with the tiny little butt for that specific purpose, because they know it's going in your car, and that's huge.
It's huge, man. But to be able to have a nice quality cup with the colors that I love, right? All of this is good for Tim Gettys here. Fantastic stuff. This thing was $13.
Here's the question I haven't fully been able to grasp as you do it. Okay. So it's a two-tone cup. It's not that I'm seeing through the plastic.
No, it's two-tone.
Gotcha. Okay. Cool. Yeah. I wasn't sure if that was the level of beverage inside of it.
No. Pretty little gradients. But anyway, having a good time with it. Very stoked about this experience as a whole. And Nick, you bring up an interesting point about the theaters, because you're right. There was a moment in time where theater chairs couldn't hold the girth.
They couldn't keep up with the demand of the gallonage.
But most theaters, at least in big city areas, have taken this last year to kind of renovate a lot of the auditoriums. So there's been a lot of changes made in the chair technology, in the cup holder technology. So we're looking pretty good. And I would know this because I was teasing it a couple of weeks ago that I was like, oh, there's a new theater opening near me. I'm really excited for it. But is it going to open? Is it not? I don't believe it. It finally fucking opened. It's been open like 2 days, and I've already seen 2 movies.
Wow.
I'm real good about it.
Wow.
What'd you see?
I saw A Quiet Place Part 2.
Cruella?
Uh-huh.
No, and then I saw Spiral, the new Saw movie.
Oh,
cool. I highly recommend one, and I don't recommend the other.
Okay, so you definitely go see Spiral.
Figure that.
Go see Spiral.
Don't know about that. If you want to watch another Chris Rock stand-up special, watch the first 15 minutes of Spiral. Huh?
Cool.
Yeah.
I love that. That
but fun. Jokes aside, watch A Quiet Place. It's fucking awesome.
It's incredible.
I went back to the theater for the first time and saw A Quiet Place Part 2. I'm doing my part.
Oh, good for you.
And let me tell you the shit these fucking theaters are talking about streaming services and stuff and their pre-roll entertainment. I'm like, I get it. You're scared. Why are you ruining this? You're back. I want to be at home, but I'm here. Congratulations. I gave you the fucking $14. And then I got to sit here and be like, the Black Widow wasn't meant to be seen like this. And I'm like, you motherfuckers, I'm not watching it on my phone. I have a nice TV. Stop being an asshole.
At a 65.
Scale, though, Greg. It's just
John Krasinski pops up to thank me for going to the theater. It's like, I get it, Krasinski. I see what you're up to.
Theaters wouldn't exist, Greg. This is a pivotal moment in time right now.
They're gonna stop calling them theaters and call them Krasinski's from now on. I had an interesting run-in with the Quiet Place franchise the other week. I'm doing my boat show. This is a fucking weird story. Doing my boat
show. Yeah, that's an interesting setup that I think already is going to be an interesting story. Interesting run-in with the Quiet Place franchise. I was doing a boat show.
So Tim, of course, went on Thursday, but I couldn't go with him on Thursday because I had Friday, Saturday, Sunday boat shows and I had to keep a little in the pocket, if you know what I mean, hold it a little bit back. So Tim, I'm sorry I couldn't go with you. It sounded like it was really fun. But my wife went out of town this weekend. It was the first weekend she'd traveled in a long time. She went to Scottsdale to go see her family. And
Arizona,
I call her. I like text, you know, I'll text her on the way back home, but I'm like, I don't expect her to be up at 11 o'clock at night or 11:30 when the boat docked, you know, everyone got home. Anyway, she texts me right back. I'm like, this is weird. I'm like, what is she doing right now? Call her. And I just say this, hello. I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, why are you still up? She's like, why didn't you tell me A Quiet Place was so good? I'm watching it on FX right now. I can't stop watching it, but I'm so tired. I'm like, dude, go to bed. You can rent it. She watched the whole thing. She watched it with commercials on FX for like 2.5 hours.
I was going to say, so it stretches out to like three and a half.
So long. But she was like, this is a really, really good movie. I was like, I told you it was a good movie. And she goes, well, I just thought it was some like a bad kind of B-movie horror movie. And I'm like, no, it's a really cool movie about a family and like so we might go see Quiet Place 2 hopefully this weekend. I'm not gonna drag her out to it. It'd be fun.
See, Nick, that's the thing you gotta understand. When she sees you watching every bad 80s film or seeing whatever comes up on the Netflix Blade next, like you it's lose so that credibility where you can tell her a movie's good, but she thinks it's on the Nick Three Fingers scale somewhere in here.
You think my credibility is shot when she comes out and I'm watching Rodney Dangerfield's Ladybugs? He's like, we got to win the soccer game.
You're like, they do have to win. They do have to win. Yeah, they gotta win. Yeah, exactly. Newell says in the live chat on patreon.com/kindoffunny, Maria Menounos still got them pre-show clips though. That she does, and I won't lie, I did get a little sappy seeing her. It was nice to see Maria there on a terrible at home green screen telling me about newbie stuff. It's like whatever. Oh, all right, cool.
My God, it was horrible. I couldn't believe the setup she had. I'm also lagging harder than I've ever lagged on a Discord call, and it's hard to lag right really now. Hard for some you guys reason. Are experienced that as well.
Yeah, exactly. I wasn't sure if that was just me, but I see you guys too. Okay.
Yeah. Which is another big question, Greg.
Maybe still but Maria Menounos, man. Shoulder she's pads, back? Yeah.
Remember we saw that last time.
But she was green screened. And here's the deal with Maria.
No. Here's the deal with Maria Menounos, right? I respect her, but she was getting a little big for her britches right before this whole thing happened, right? Because she clearly knew the status that doing the in-theater...
How is she too big for her britches?
Because, bro, the last time I saw her, she looked like she stepped out of an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation with this costume they had her in with these big ass shoulder pads, and she was glitter. She looked like she was Splinter, like she was wearing that blouse that Splinter wore in TMNT. And I'm like, Maria, you're getting, you know, watch the ego. Let's just check the ego, Maria. And now she's coming back. It's good to see she's coming back a little bit, more like level one.
TMNT Secret of the Ooze. She's super Maria Menounos now.
That's how well, I'm saying. Well, is she? Because it's honestly like what Nick's saying. She was humble.
I'm just joking around.
She was humbled, obviously, and having her, you know, shoot from her green screen at home now and do this. And I also don't remember it being newbie when she left. Wasn't it? You know, did something happen? Did newbie buy a bunch of stuff for movies? I don't know what happened here.
It's been newbie. Newbie's the really? Weird thing where it's like, take out your phone now and take down the aliens.
But I've never seen that shit before. And granted, I guess I've been mainly at Alamo, but even when we went to AMC, I guess because she's Cinemark, right? Isn't that the deal?
She's all over the place.
Is she? I don't know. Newbie. This newbie thing is all over the place. What Alamo I did appreciate about everything off. What I appreciated about her pre-show entertainment is that she slipped in. You watch my podcast or listen to my podcast, Better Together with Maria Menounos. And she said, I guarantee it will change your life. And I looked at Jen and I was like, I guarantee it won't, but I appreciate the pitch. Imagine if that's like, if I was on whatever, I'm guesting on Min-Max or whatever. Like, all right, Greg, anything to say before you go? Yeah, make sure you check out the Kinda Funny podcast. It will change your life.
I guarantee it will change your life. Like, that's an extra level of just insanity there.
Damn, now, Maria.
The pre-show stuff, I think I talked about this on Games Daily or something, but for you guys, a fun moment I had was they played that Welcome Back to the Movies Marvel trailer that is like the most hype thing in the history of the world, where it goes and you see the Endgame reactions, then it goes into all the new movies coming out over the next 2 years. They played that before the movie I watched. And as I walked down the hall to go to the bathroom, I heard it playing in multiple other auditoriums.
Get it.
And I'm just like, this is awesome. I love that it's just Fast and Furious and MCU just blasting left and right. One ear, I'm hearing Dom's voice. One ear, I'm hearing the freaking Marvel Studios theme. And I'm just like, this is where I belong, everyone.
Who would have thought the fate of theaters is would be left up to the Disney Corporation and Vin Diesel. Those are the two entities. I'll put Vin Diesel as an entity. I don't think he's a human anymore. I think he's beyond that now. But those are the two cornerstones for bringing theaters back to life. I'm all for it. Why not?
Did y'all see the giant poster they put up in billboard they put up in LA yesterday for Fast and Furious?
No.
Oh, Helen Mirren, right?
Yeah. I'm going to send this to assets right now, Kev. Okay. You could bring this up. It's going to make everyone's life better. It'll change your life. I guarantee it.
While you do that, Kevin, let me remind everybody that this is the Kinda Funny podcast. Each and every week, three, sometimes four, sometimes five best friends gather on this table, each coming to bullshit about whatever it is they want to bullshit about. If you like that, and so many of you do, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny. Of course, on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can write in with your questions, comments, concerns, and topics of bullshit for us to discuss. Of course, on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can get a whole bunch of exclusive shows like the Kind of Funny Next Gen podcast, like the Q&A show we do each and every month, and so much more. Plus, you can get the show ad-free. You can get it with the exclusive post show we do each and every episode, and you could be watching live right now, just like Madeline Stanley is, Joshy G is, Mike LR. However, if you have no bucks to toss our way on patreon.com/kindoffunny, it's no big deal. You can wait. Go to youtube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe each and every week, twice a week, sometimes with guests, but not, well, I was gonna say not this week, but we already put up Mom's episode. Or wait, how's that work this week? Is there another episode coming this week, or is this that week? How's it work?
This is the week. This is the week.
Okay. Well, we're doing what I'm saying.
Kind of Funny podcast this week that's going live to the public.
We're still recording another one, but we're not doing guests because E3 is so crazy and the schedule is so crazy. We wanted to try to make it all, just us. But even then, we failed. Andy, I hate to break it to everybody. He went off to buy some Takis. You know what happened? Raccoon showed up, looked at him, two snakes out of his eyes into Andy's eyes. Didn't even bite him. He just got snakes in the eyes.
Snakes out of the raccoon eyes into Andy's eyes?
That's right, buddy.
Snakers, man.
You know what I mean? You ever see that movie? The one, girls, good news, your prom dates are here. Bad news is they're dead. Fuck, Slither? Night of the Creeps. But they think, spoilers for Night of the Creeps, everybody, an 80s horror movie you probably didn't see. But it's like Slither. Anyways, at the end, they think it's over. Like, oh, we burned them all to death. That's great. And the dog comes up. And she's like, oh, hey, dog. And the dog goes, bleh, and the fucking shoots one out in her mouth. Fucking disgusting. And it's so sad. Night of the Creeps. Thank you, Madeline Stanley. Housekeeping for you. I see Tim getting ready to say something. Is it about Night of the Creeps? If it's about Night of the Creeps, I'll let it stand.
It's a segue from that, but I can do it later.
Well, you got a segue to Helen Mirren after this, too. I want you to think about Night of the Creeps, all right? Keep thinking about Night of the Creeps, everybody. All right. Housekeeping for you. Guess what, everybody? This is the final Kind of Funny podcast for this week. There's a lot more coming, including Conjuring in Review. That's right. Conjuring the Devil Made Me Do It is out this week, this Friday, HBO Max, theaters everywhere, getting good reviews. Can't fucking wait. And so Conjuring in Review is back with the Elise and James Willems. The thing is about it, though, since it comes out on Friday, we're watching it on Friday on HBO Max and then immediately doing the show. So it'll be up sometime on Friday to get your scary vision in there or whatever for sometime on Friday at some time of the week. But
the return of Greg Miller. To In Review, which
you see that tweet the other day, I was like, man, I haven't been on An interview in a while.
I did, and it scared me.
I'm gonna come in with some energy, you know what I mean? Not to mention it, like, again, I love a good Conjuring movie, and as the record shows, I love a good bad Conjuring movie. So, if this is actually a good Conjuring movie, and look at it, we got Vera, we got Patrick, the dynamic duo back together. You fucking kidding me right now? Ed and Lorraine.
What the devil make them do?
What are you going to... Oh, did you see... I'm actually kind of mad because when I went to see Quiet Place, I got to see trailers, obviously, beforehand. And they showed this one. And I knew nothing about this movie. I watched it. I'm like, now I haven't
seen the trailer.
Oh, man, I don't want to ruin it for you, but let's just say the devil. You know what I mean? He's out there and he's making people do things. He's poking him with his little pick for it, going, do it or I'll get you. I'm the devil. Do it or I'll get you, Kevin. Kevin, right now, the devil shows up. What do you say to him?
How can I serve you?
He ain't saying shit.
Are we no longer on the devil's side?
I didn't know where you were going to be. He's not like the fun devil. He's not like John Lovitz in the devil outfit from SNL. I think the definitive devil. Nick, am I wrong?
Definitely.
So I think this is more the scary Conjuring kind of like, what's the demon that was in Annabelle? What was his fucking name? You know what I'm talking about.
Kukui.
Kukui. It's like Kukui. It's like that.
You remember all the names, didn't you?
But this is a long time ago. I don't know. Yeah, but don't something else.
Bathsheba.
Yeah.
Tim was like Bath Masma. Bath Algebra.
But it doesn't matter. Kevin, scary devil shows up. It's behind your bed. It like comes up. It still offers. It's like, hello, I have a deal to offer you. What do you say?
Black demon, back.
That's right, Kevin.
Are you kidding me? Kevin's gonna be like this. Listen, bro, I've been waiting for you. And then Kevin will tell him what's up, and the devil will be like, damn, I never looked at it like that. I work for you now.
I work for you now.
I want to see that coming. Thank you to our Patreon producers. Oh, damn, did I fuck this? I don't think so. Oh, no, I changed this. I didn't change the verbiage from the last one. Thank you to our new Patreon producers, all right? Donovan Harkness, Joshua Schroeder, Delaney Twinning, Julian the Gluten-Free Gamer, Steve Powers, and Donovan Harkness once again. That's right. Donovan supported twice because he's so nice for the price. I'm trying to rhyme other words. He eats rice.
Mm-hmm.
I got nothing else. I can't even think of another one. Kevin, what did you have? I'm sure you had one ready to go. Throw in my face.
Mice.
God damn it.
Lice.
Today we're brought to you by Babbel, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, Tim, show me this Helen Mirren picture.
Yeah. If we could bring it up, Kev, I'd appreciate it. I love this. I love more than anything that Helen Mirren is in the Fast universe, that she is the mother, the matriarch of the Fast and Furious saga, and the fact that she gets this giant billboard poster on the side of a building is so special, because we know that Fast 9, for marketing, they did these photo shoots with all the main characters and they each get their own color and their own car and all this stuff. Helen Mirren wasn't one of them. This picture has never been released until this, which is the best, because there's been like 15 of them otherwise, but no, Helen Mirren coming through.
She deserves it.
There's so many things that I wish I can go back in time and tell our previous selves. And I wish there was a Game Over Grey show at some point where Nick was talking about his love for Helen Mirren. And all of us were like sharing it, of course, because she's the best. And I would have never known she'd end up not only in the Fast and Furious at all, but getting a fucking billboard.
It's well, at this point, you have to assume everyone is going to end up in Fast and Furious and or the MCU.
Yes.
That's the big thing about
it. Why not both?
Vin Diesel? Not both?
He did 100%. He's Groot. He's Dom. Yeah, of course. He's all of it.
Yeah.
Now, jumping off of what we were talking about a second ago, you mentioned that movie I haven't seen, which was
Creepers. Night of the Creeps. Kevin, I'm going to get you the Night of the Creeps trailer, okay? Because if Night of the Creeps is going to be this important, it's a 1986 flick.
I can get it.
Well, okay then. I'm looking here.
Are the Creeps the ones that slithered around?
Yeah, I think they were the precursor to James Gunn slither, but I can't prove that. Here, actually, I'll DM James Gunn and ask him right now.
Oh my God. Do you really want to waste your slither verified tweet at James Gunn with some bullshit like this?
You just fucked up. Do I want to waste my verified tweet? No, I told you I would DM him. I DM him bullshit all the time. James.
Hey man, sometimes it backfires horribly.
How
what can you say?
Much influence did Night of the Creeps have on Slither? Thank you. And it's sent. There you go. That's how we get information. All right, everybody, real quick. Tim, you've never seen this film. You say 1986, mm-hmm. Night of the Creeps, an influential movie to Poe and myself, to where I believe this is one of the only VHSs Poe still has. He bought it after we rented it and fell in love with it. Kevin, please play it.
You guys hear anything?
No.
No.
No, I do.
Really?
Yep. Yeah, we do now. It's very quiet.
Very quiet. You don't have to turn this up. And JC.
It is going to be the best night of their lives. But tonight is also the night of the Creeps. From a world unknown comes a nightmare unimagined.
Yeah, this is the scene I remember right here. This is terrifying. You.
On you. Then inside you.
They get in through your mouth and you walk around while they incubate, even if you're dead.
They are a new breed of terror. They are a different kind of horror.
Zombies, exploding heads, creepy crawlies.
We could have a little problem.
The Creeps are taking over.
I got good news and bad news, girls.
What?
The good news is your dates are here.
What's the bad news?
They're dead.
You have never had
nailed
a night
it, Greg.
Like this.
I'll be honest with you, I don't think that's good news.
Night of the Creeps. If you scream, you're dead.
Holy shit.
And damn. I know what you're thinking. You guys were thinking, wait a second, was that Rusty from National Lampoon's Vacation having to deal? It was. It was Rusty.
Wow.
One of the Rusties, obviously.
I was going to say one of the Rusties. It wasn't.
It wasn't Anthony Michael Hall.
Glickman or whatever. Yeah, Anthony McGall was the first one, and then was he from European Vacation?
Yeah, that's not. Yeah, he's that. The one right there was European Vacation.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm sorry. Now that you've been briefed on Night of the Creeps, Tim, the ball is back in your court.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So phase one of my theater has been complete for a while. I'm now moving on to phase two. So there's been a lot of planning, a lot of just stuff going on, a lot of decisions that have to be made. And one of them is there's a section of the room that needs a little rug action. So I've been trying to figure out what that looks like because I have a very dominant color rug, as you can see here.
Yes. If you're an audio listener, it's mainly white, but then it's got a bunch of triangles on it. And so you got blue triangles, aqua triangles, gray triangles, maybe the white triangles, but it looks like a white carpet with triangles.
Imagine a lot of triforces next to each other, two shades of blue, one shade of white, one shade of gray. It's just all over the place. It matches the aesthetic of the room, period. But I was talking to G and I was just like, yeah, I mean, like we need to work around that because the rug really ties the room together. Like everything has to be around that. And she made some reference to me being the Big Lebowski. Yep. And I was just like, I've never seen that, which is shocking to many people. But she was like, oh, yeah, that's a big thing in that movie is the rug tying the room together.
And that's the whole point of the rug. Yeah.
What? Okay, I guess. So then
you should watch it. I'm going to fucking ruin it. I'm going to ruin it for you.
Well, last night she was just like, let's fucking watch it. And I was like, okay. And I now have a new top three favorite movie of all time.
What?
Best movie ever made. Are you kidding me?
Of the Big Lebowski.
And like,
does that make me the most basic bitch of all time?
No.
Absolutely. The amount of things in this feature film that I'm like, oh, that's why that guy I knew always drinks White Russians.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's why that guy says this, that.
Mr. Lebowski asked me to remind you. He said her life is in your hands.
The dude obliges. The dude abides. I've heard some form of abides so many times, and now I honestly, it all part of that movie fucking makes sense.
This is what he's like. He's in Jackie. Well, first off, the part where they introduced, like, not the bad guy, but the guy's like a pornographer, Jackie something or other.
Treehorn, Jackie Treehorn.
Hi, dude. I'm Jackie Treehorn. Thanks for coming. But it's like the most epic shot of him walking, and it's a beach and a bonfire, and they're doing the blanket thing where they throw people up in the air. And then he takes it back to the house and he writes something down. Like takes a phone call, starts writing something down the pad, and then the dude tries to pull like the sneak thing where he shades over it with the pencil, and it's just a stat, like a figure of a dude with a big schlong.
Big ass dick.
He's just a drawing of a dude.
He just keeps going.
He's like, what the fuck?
I swear to God, it's a fucking brilliant movie. And I'm not telling anybody something they don't know, but I didn't know it. And I'm sure there's a ton of best friends out there that haven't seen the movie, have just heard of the movie, have heard of the dude, all the stuff. Oh, you need to watch this goddamn movie. It is utterly fantastic. And it is just probably the best example I've ever seen of just a movie that just introduces characters for the sake of having dope characters. And it works from beginning to end. There's just probably 15 different characters that get introduced where you're just like, you are everything I needed at this moment. Mm-hmm. And you can come back again in the movie or not. It doesn't matter because it is just perfect and awesome. It is like everything I like about Tarantino movies, but it's funny. And I'm like, holy shit, this is kind of just the ideal Tim movie.
It's the best character in that whole movie is John Turturro.
Oh my God.
He is Jesus. And he, the first time you see him, Tim, the biggest I've laughed, I think, in ever is when he is like, it's just the top down shot of the ball. And he just puts his hand, like one hand over it. And then his other hand kind of goes over it. It's just that whole sequence where it's to the Spanish version of Hotel California, as he starts, like, he throws a strike and then starts dancing in slow motion, then looks at him and like fucking does one of the finger. It's the best
ball.
It's the best. Oh yeah, yes. The best intro for any character ever. And then he's like, don't talk to that man, Donnie. That man's a pederast.
Donnie's whole character arc is the best. But the thing about the Jesus, dude, that is my favorite thing, is everything you just said, Nick, him being in all in purple, like doing that whole thing, his little sidekick guy also being in purple, and it just being ridiculous.
He looks at it, he like points at him and he points back at us. Fucking great, man.
And I was like, he was actually the moment that I looked at G at some point. I was just like, he could either come back in this movie or not. Yep. And it would just work. And the fact that he does come back, but he's wearing blue the next time, and so is his sidekick, and it's not explained. There's great, no reason, but it's just like holy. Every other character has only worn one outfit the entire fucking movie, but this guy, the guy that I defined as the purple dude, is now not the purple dude. Like, it's just brilliant fucking shit. And Philip Seymour Hoffman,
so good,
takes it so seriously. He's just this butler character, and he just talks to Jeff Bridges, calls him the dude, and takes it so seriously the entire time. I love it.
Him, and then of course John Goodman being
John
Goodman, just being the powerhouse that John Goodman is. And I remember seeing him in that, and
more
just
like John Grateman.
He's big.
Hey, damn, good Kevin. One, Kevin.
Thank you,
good one, Kevin. That movie is one of those. It's one of those, like, you see it and you instantly know, you're like, this has got to be on my top 10 list of movies that are just, because you're right, Tim. It's like, it's that perfect comedic Coen Brothers style where it's twisted a little bit, but it's more fun. And like the dude character played by Jeff Bridges is so charming that you can't not like him, even though he's a complete and total idiot the entire time, stumbling through this whole little adventure. I love it.
Yeah. Tara Reid.
That's right.
Julianne Moore.
Yeah, Julianne Moore.
Fucking Moore. Like, literally the cast just keeps getting more and more insane. It's just, I can't believe it. And again, like, my one liner for this thing is, I can't believe it lived up to the hype. I thought that this was one of those things where I was like, I wasn't there at the time. I wasn't the right age group, whatever. No, this
is Sam Elliott at the end of Cinderella. Like,
it's beautiful.
It's great.
You have to curse so much. Yeah, for me, honestly, the first time I saw Big Lebowski, it didn't live up to the hype because I saw it in college. So, like, what? That's a 98.
I'm pretty sure it was 98.
So I must have seen it in 2002, 2003, and it was already like a juggernaut at that point. But I remember not expecting what it was, which threw me and then put me on my heels for the whole viewing. And it wasn't until, like, you know, it wasn't, at least for how it was for us in college, you'd watch the same movies over and over and over again, like later that week or next week, watching it again with like pretty much the same group and one other person. That's when I was like, oh, when it started to click. And that's a movie that every time I watch, I get more out of. And I think part of it is the idea that, as we just went through and like we're forgetting characters or people are bringing up different characters, there's something different to like every time. And so, like you're saying, Tim, that somebody can enter the picture and then leave and you don't know if they're coming back or if they matter at all. You can remember the actual plot of Big Lebowski and forget so much stuff around it to bring it all back to heaven. Is it in Fleas in it too? Isn't he one of the nihilists?
Yeah, he's one of the
nihilists, Donnie.
Yeah, good Lord. I honestly really messed up like how I was talking about this earlier about the comedy aspect. This movie is Tarantino meets Kevin Smith. Where it's just, it's the Tarantino-esque, like the nature, the mature nature of it all, and the way that it's edited and presented, and the storyline is like, it matters, but it also really doesn't. But the Kevin Smith element of just every single character is to the tens, and putting them together is what really makes it special. And you see one group and another group, and you're like, there's no way they're going to make them interact. And then they do, and you're just like, oh my God, that was more than I could have ever asked for.
Oh, dude. So if you want to go down the rabbit hole of Coen Brothers movies, you should watch Fargo next. Fargo, it's not this level of humor, right? This is like kind of zany. Fargo is like very, very intense, but it's a wonderfully made movie. It was on TV the other day. I think it was on HBO the other day. And I sat down, I was like, don't even do it because I have to watch the whole thing. But it's like how like, it put like William H. Macy and Frances McDormand like on the map. But then you start to see, Tim, that the Coen brothers worked with a lot of the same actors throughout all of their films. And so that one of the guys that plays the nihilist, Peter Stormare, that guy that's like always the, I think he was like one of the bad guys in Bad Boys too. He's that Russian bad guy that's always that guy. I think he's in Fargo as well. And I think Frances McDormand obviously ended up working with him a bunch of times too. I think she married one of them. Don't be wrong.
Coen brothers in review. Make it happen, Tim.
Oh, I love that. We start with Barton Fink or whatever the first movie
was. Like, yeah, I was going to say, there's like actually a bunch of movies we've never, that people never, I guess you have to go into what they direct, right?
There's quite a few that are not my favorite movies just because they have a very dark style and a very, very like stylistic style. And so a lot of them aren't very great for, I would say Big Lebowski is probably the most like accessible of the movies that they've made. A lot of people sucks. Like O Brother, Where Art Thou a lot.
I really liked O Brother, where the Soggy Bottom Boys.
I couldn't get into Hail Caesar. I couldn't get into
movie
it.
Sucks. Watch it. Boom. No. Damn.
But, that's what I said to that.
Big Lebowski is like when he's like, it's Caucasian, man. He refers to the White Russian as a Caucasian. Come on, dude. Classic. There's a beverage here, man.
They didn't know Country for Old Men. I didn't know it.
Did they?
according to the Wikipedia.
I didn't know that. Yeah, they didn't write it though. That was a Cormac McCarthy book. They must have just been guns for hire on that.
Well, I think they, yeah, they're credited as writers, but it's based on the novel. Yeah.
Yeah, that movie was. So Fargo is more akin to No Country for Old Men as far as its tone, but it's also kind of, it's weird. I mean, it's like Minnesota, right? I think is where it takes place.
Yeah, Fargo. Fargo, North Dakota.
North Dakota. Thank you. And it's a really well crafted, very very well acted movie. Steve Buscemi also in that movie as well.
What a gem. Yeah. I want to take this conversation. I want to still own the conversation for a second, if y'all boys will allow
that. It's the Tim Gettys podcast.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That means it's going one of two ways, either MCU or Fast and Furious. We're going MCU right now. Kev, I just sent you a something to assets, if you could bring it up here. I saw this and I was like, I can guarantee Nick's going to get a kick out of this. Okay. And Greg, he'll have fun too.
I love Andy, having fun.
Thank God Andy's not here. That's all I'll say.
May he never be forgotten. Old snakes in the eyes, Andy Cortez.
On the Marvel Studios subreddit, someone posted MCU cast first credited TV or film roles. Cool. And it's just kind of fun to go back and watch it. So this here, this on the left is Chadwick Boseman in All My Children in 2003.
Wow.
Unrecognizable, honestly. Then we got... Yes, that is. That is Tom Holland in a movie called The Impossible.
I remember this fucking thing.
Terrifies me.
Is it Ewan McGregor in that?
Yeah, he plays the husband. Tim, are you familiar with the plot of this movie? Mm-hmm. They're on an island, like getaway vacation, and the island gets hit with the tsunami. And it's terrifying.
Wait a minute.
There's a giant wave that hits them and they get separated and like people get killed with like all this shit and debris and stuff everywhere. And they just have to find each other again.
I've never seen this movie, but I remember a Michael Bay movie called The Island that I'm pretty totally sure stalled Ewan McGregor.
Also, right? Ewan McGregor. That was about very clones. Different. Yeah.
Yeah. That was actually
that one's about cloning that yourself cool. So that you can harvest your own organs should you need to.
Real quick while we're here, I forget if we
Ewan McGregor in a movie about clones? No.
No.
I want you to know work. That I feel like we're covering it for the record, but Grant Burton wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunny and said, what have you guys been watching on TV recently? We're talking about a lot of movies as well, but I'm counting it since we're watching them on TV. And I want to give a shout out to Ewan McGregor and Halston, the Netflix show.
So good, right?
Dude, he is fucking insane. Like, don't get me wrong. I know Ewan McGregor's a good actor. I'm not they just fall up the turnip truck yesterday. I didn't show up from Kansas. Like, what's this magic box with talking people on it? I understand. I've seen Ewan McGregor do amazing things, but he is fucking on another level on this show. Thank you, Ewan McGregor, for sharing your talents.
Sorry, back to the townhouse that he's in Halston. That thing is dope.
I want to hang out with Liza Minnelli when she was like 25, 30 or whatever she is in that.
Yeah, when she was
Liza Minnelli parties. You know what I mean? And that's the thing. I only know I know Liza Minnelli from Arrested Development. You know what I mean? She's dope there too. Liza Minnelli, or if you know Liza, tell her right now. I'd love to hang out with her and party right now. But I'm just saying, I was like, oh man, look, she was doing cool shit back then too.
I think the chances of Liza Minnelli coming to hang out with us in San Francisco are very slim, but I want to give a shout out. And
here's what we're going to do. We're going to tweet right now. How many degrees? We want to know how many degrees separated from Liza Minnelli we are.
Yeah,
all right. Smart. And we'll just go from there. All right.
I want to give a shout out to the actress that plays her, though. And I forget her name, but she did a really, really great job in Bonnie. Because like that's the thing when you start casting people who are obviously well known. Like you can't cast someone that when they look too much like them, you run the risk of them like them being an impersonator. And so I think they did a really great job, and she did a great job of them like embodying what Liza was, but like kind of making it her own. Similar to like how they did with the National Lampoon's movie that they made, where they cast Joel McHale as Chevy Chase, and I'm like, he looks nothing like Chevy Chase, but he is mannerisms and who just the sort of like soul of the character he found really well.
I didn't know there was Liza Minnelli. I didn't know there was a Joel McHale, Chevy Chase movie you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. It's Will Forte plays the guy that – one of the guys – is Will Forte and Domhnall Gleeson. I'm going to tell you that guy's name. Play the two founders of National Lampoon's, and it came out right around the time that the documentary came out. So you probably saw the documentary, but if you haven't seen the actual narrative version of the film, it's great, and it's got an all-star cast of people they just cast like – to be all of those people, all the Saturday Night Live characters, Gilda, Belushi, all those people. It's really fucking cool.
Tweet is out, everybody. We want to know how many degrees of separation are between us and Liza Minnelli. Go. I didn't tag her. I'm not trying to cheat it here. You know what I mean? But here, if you are related to somebody who knows Liza Minnelli, this is the time to speak now. We're not going to hit you up. We don't need her on the show right now. Just let her know that we'd like to party with her.
Jonathan Stab in the chat says Henry Winkler was in Arrested Development with Liza Minnelli.
Yeah, that's did that true. Seem like that panned out for us? Does that seem like it panned out? Do you think we can hit up Henry Winkler right now in the blood feud he's in with Nick? You think I can hit him up and ask for an introduction to Liza Minnelli? That's not how it would happen.
I'd rather you not, but if you do, we got to jump you out of the gang. So if you're going to interact with Henry
Winkler, out of the gang.
We got to jump you out of the gang. Greg, the movie's called A Futile and Stupid Gesture, and it's a Netflix movie. So if you want to watch it, I highly recommend it. It's very, very good.
Okay, I'm sorry, Tim. This is your podcast. Back to your Reddit.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Kev. Can you please bring this up? Here we have Anthony Mackie in 8 Mile in 2002. Another movie that I've never seen.
What?
Yeah.
You've never seen 8 Mile.
We've talked about this recently. I've never seen 8 Mile.
That's like Greg not watching a Superman movie.
I was going to say, tonight. What are you going to watch tonight? Fuck The Bachelor season 45. Watch 8 Mile.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, maybe. Who gets the rose tonight? You better fucking lose yourself. That's who gets the rose.
Tim. Exactly. Exactly. Mikhail Pfeiffer is in that movie.
My mom and brother went to see it opening night, and I don't know what I was doing, but I couldn't go for whatever reason, and then I just never saw it. They watched it together all the time.
Kevin, I want you to know this reflects on you too. The fact that you didn't somehow make this happen Tim. Either. Yeah, but that's expected for you. I'm sure, you know, it wasn't on the dollar menu, bullshit, but it seems like something you should have been on.
The dollar menu.
You would have been on fucking Tim's case about. You know what I mean? This seems like something, you know how much Tim loves M&M. It seems like something you would have lauded over him until he actually went and did it.
I like the peanut M&Ms.
Oh, fuck yeah. I love peanut M&Ms. They go with this little carton of milk that you get.
Let me guess. When you get your peanut M&Ms, you get them out of that little crank thing in the supermarket, right? Where it's just loose M&Ms in a disgusting machine.
They come out like dusty, and you're like, why are these things dusty?
There's no dust in there.
You ever look at the bottom of those little bulk bins, and you're like,
nothing is sealed in there.
No one's cleaned this thing out ever. It's just peanut M&M flakes
for the last 3 decades.
Back to the list.
Here we have it, everyone. Scarlett Johansson in 1994 in a movie called North.
Is that the Elijah Wood one?
Elijah Wood, yeah.
Yeah, he's
ridiculous. She's so small.
Can't even recognize
her. Then next up.
They start that way.
Chris Evans.
Yeah.
Biodiversity. Wild About Life in 1997.
What a dork. Look at that.
What a fucking loser. You know what I mean?
Steal that hat from my dad.
It's one of those things where, like, Chris Evans, this image you're showing of him being very young here, obviously, audio listeners, we're sorry. The first thing I think of is, did you ever see this? It was a tweet that I saw on Reddit, and I saw it years ago now at this point, but some point where I'm messing up the story, I'm sure, but it was a woman who was like in her dentist's chair. He's like, what are you getting into this weekend? She's like, oh, I'm going to go see one of the whatever Avengers film was out that weekend. And he's like, oh, that's funny. My son's in that. And like, it all clicked in her head that it was Dr. Evans. And like, she looked at his desk and he had a photo of him and his son, Chris Evans, and all this shit.
That's awesome.
That's great. Kev, could you bring up whatever you just brought up again?
Sure.
Because I have some questions here. So hold on.
North. I remember this one.
Did not. I looked up North and this is the image that came up. And I was like, whoa. Did not expect Bruce Willis in the Easter Bunny outfit.
I'll tell you what, it's a movie I never watched because it looked really stupid, and this is all checking out.
You're regretting it, aren't you? Because you should watch this.
No. I'm saying this John Ritter?
Is John Ritter in this movie?
The late, great John Ritter.
I can never tell with the compression who these people are, but that looks like George Costanza. Yeah, I don't think it is.
Yeah, Jason Alexander, you nailed it.
Is that John Lovitz?
That's John Lovitz.
So the question I have, though, Kev, is earlier we were talking about Ewan McGregor, and he's involved in multiple islands, multiple clone movies. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Elijah Wood grows up to then be in some show of him in an Easter Bunny costume?
Yes.
No, you're thinking of Wilford, where he's with the dog.
Yeah, the guy's in the dog costume. Dog. That's what you're thinking.
Close. Similar costume. Close, but okay. Elijah Wood. Different tiers.
Different people. Elijah Woods had such an interesting career because he hit Lord of the Rings and was like, I'm done. I don't have to ever do anything. Nothing will ever be cooler than this. I can do whatever the fuck I want. So now he's doing like weird indie, like Wilford projects like that. But yeah. What's Titchy?
Sebastian Stan is the next one. 71 fragments of a chronology of chance. I don't think that one got many views. But
no,
here he is. Also, not a great picture.
Not a great picture, I know. Shout out while we're here to Monday. Did you watch Monday with Sebastian Stan?
Mm-mm.
It's no. Another pandemic movie from the last 2 months that came out of him and having like a one night stand with a girl, and then it maybe turns into more. I won't ruin the movie for you, but I enjoyed myself.
Oh.
And there's a lot of Sebastian Stan naked and a lot of this woman naked in it too. It's a very sexual affair they have.
Frontal, we see everything.
They do the sex
quite a bit. Yeah, I don't remember seeing his dick, but I remember seeing his butt. Bonk.
No balls either, huh?
What about his
Which part of the body? Where do you want to go, Nick?
He's going to bring up his butt out of me
because I brought up a new term on the Braven review, and it was the first time and only time Tim's actually just looked at me and like, please bush. Stop saying that word.
Ass bush.
Yeah.
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 That's what was said.
I know it well.
I know, yeah. And Mike L in the chat, back balls.
Are those just the balls from behind?
Yeah, balls to mine. Yeah,
yeah,
balls,
no, that's that. Perfect. That's great. Yeah, I like that one a lot. I remember once watching a shit, fuck. I'm right there. Nick, I need your help.
Which one?
It's the old... It was Whoopi Goldberg. It was Billy Crystal. It was Robin Williams. It was a thing. It was stand-up comedy for homelessness. They did it all the time. It got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Oh, fuck. Shit.
I really thought you had me on this one.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not blanking on the name. I know what you're talking about, but I'm blanking on the name. I keep thinking of them hosting the Oscars. That's all I can think of them now.
Comic Relief. That's what I was looking for. And I remember long before I had any idea who they were, Bob Odenkirk and David Cross did a bit on Comic Relief. And I forget what the actual like setup to the joke was or whatever, because it was like pretty normal stand-up that was going. I remember watching, because I used to watch a lot of stand-up as a kid. And I would have been a teenager somewhere in here. But Mr. Show must have been happening, but I don't think we had HBO, so I don't think I was watching Mr. Show. Anyways, the joke escalated to where it was like, oh, you know, David's got to go backstage and get naked. And then he did. And he came back out holding his balls and his dick in his hand. And you couldn't see anything as a camera. And then when he went, when that their bit ended and they left the stage, I think it was Chris Rock came out and was just like, just so you know, you can see his balls from backstage.
Yeah.
Because he was great. Getting back balls.
That's what they did back in the day.
Everybody protects the front balls. They don't think about the ass bush and they don't think about the back balls.
Yeah, you got to watch out.
It's most sensitive, man.
It's true.
They'll get you, the gators.
Because the front balls are, you're used to getting kicked by all the people, but in the back, no one kicks you in the back.
People,
balls. I used to kick it. You know, throughout the years, you get kicked a lot in the front balls.
Yeah, that's why you develop the callus in the front balls, exactly. But the back balls. Back balls right ball now are as smooth and soft as they were the day you were born.
No, man, even softer because they've been wearing out against your ass bush.
All right, let's keep going on the list. Next is Elizabeth Olsen.
They've been buffed to a fine shine by the ass bush.
Shiny, man. Gotta get that Brillo pad out of there. What did The Rock call it? Chewbacca's?
Oh, my God. I don't even know. When would he have said that?
The Rock referred to underarmpit hair as Chewbacca's one time when Greg tweeted a picture at him. The Rock said, that looks great, but you got to get rid of those Chewbacca's.
I want to let you know, Greg, I love our lives so much that I did not expect Nick to reference when I was like, oh, I don't remember The Rock saying that. It's because he said it to you. I thought he said it in some movie.
No. That was when Greg and he were going back and forth a little bit on Twitter. That was fun.
I love it. So here we have Elizabeth Olsen in How the West Was Fun, which, good Lord, it's just so funny seeing her little and seeing her sister's little and all of it. This came up last year at some point. Or maybe it was even this year with WandaVision. But did we watch the diss track with you guys?
The diss
that her older sisters did about her?
No. I would love to watch that. Right.
I need to send you guys this because we're going to check it out. Here we go. I'm loving the Tim Gettys episode of this kind of funny podcast. So perfect. Do you guys, you're probably out of the... No, we're okay. This is up on YouTube. You guys are a different age group than me. So in some ways, I grew up with these Mary-Kate and Ashley home videos. I doubt you guys did, but did you at all?
No. I knew of them. I didn't watch them.
No, I didn't.
Are you familiar, though, Nick?
With the Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen? Like, yeah. I mean, I followed their career extensively. I just never really consumed any of the content.
Okay, cool. So they put out a shit ton of, like, almost... multiple annualized series of Mary-Kate and Ashley. It's kind of like the Ernest movies.
It's like Hardy Boys, but Ashley. But they were like straight to video, right? They were like Hallmark straight Channel, straight to video bullshit.
Yeah. Exactly. But like,
Mary-Kate and Ashley solve a murder mystery. It's like fucking who's the serial killer out there at Silence of the Lambs? Yeah,
perfect. Totally. So this one's called The Adventures of Mary-Kate and Ashley, The Case of the Thorn Mansion. So they're trying to figure it out. Their little sister, Lizzie, wants to go with them. And they have some choice fucking words for this girl in the most ruthless thing I've ever seen young children do to their little sister that adults perpetuated and put on VHS cassette.
Yeah.
Let's check it out.
It was a tougher time.
Want to come too? We know you do. And maybe someday you will. She wants to come now. No way, no how. Sorry, negative spell. Why not? Why not? Let's see, why not? Lizzie, baby, we'd rather you weren't along today. But shouldn't we tell her why? We'd just rather you weren't, okay? Now back off and say goodbye. We'd rather be picked up by a twister, tagged along after by a sister. We'd rather eat french fried garden snails. We'd rather lose all our fingernails. Or bathe in a pool of slime. Hasta la vista, baby, see that. Maybe some other time.
Enough.
Burn your tiny frame around and butt out, Lizzie Olsen. What the hell? Who gave this?
This is not acceptable. What's funny is like she always like Elizabeth Olsen always just looked older than the other two. She always looked like she's the older sibling than the other two. To me,
I don't know that I saw that.
Really?
I don't think so.
I just think of Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, even to this day, as being like 16 years old. And
here's the thing we're gonna say, all right? And we're in the Tree of Trust. This is the Kind of Funny podcast, aka the Tim Gettys podcast for this one time, right?
Yeah.
But Tree of Trust, and no, chat be cool. Listen to everything I say before you go off and you know clip it out and get me in trouble with anybody. All right. Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen as children kind of look like trolls. I mean, the troll dolls, right? And so they have that cherub look to them that doesn't age.
They're very young looking, always.
I will agree with you, Nick. In that clip we even just saw, right? Elizabeth Olsen, while younger and smaller, of course, looks like she has a more adult face. Whereas the Olsen twins themselves still have that I'm on Perpetual Full House, babies. You got it, dude, whatever.
I mean,
you
know but what I mean? They got turned into vampires at a very young age, and they never aged. That's what I always
thought. Well, no, they did. I mean, now they also look like adults. You know what I mean? Now that they are adults, and they run a fashion empire, whatever the hell they do. I don't know. I know they
The hell they do. I know. I love that you said they run a fashion empire. I was like, there's no way Greg knows that, because I don't
know. They do. One of them does. One of them does that, right? They don't act anymore.
I think they have – it's either Oliver Peoples or – Alice and Olivier, they have a lot of brands and they used to have magazines and shit too. They're like billionaires.
They got
commoditized back at a young age, but they still, I think they're pretty heavily in fashion.
And so that's what I'm saying is like, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying the Olsen twins, nor am I saying they look like trolls, like Troll 2 trolls or anything. I'm saying they look, they always reminded me of the troll doll, which I
Trolls
think puts
World
them.
Tour.
Yeah, sure. I didn't watch that one, but sure. Yeah, same idea. Yeah. Is that the troll doll? Yeah. You know, the little like naked thing like this with the fucking hair. You know what I mean? Like they always had that troll doll vibe to them. And so that puts them in a certain thing where I think they were always seemed like small children and then all of a sudden they could drink.
The hair?
No. Well, I mean, that definitely played into it. That definitely played into it.
They're also like tiny humans, right? I don't think they're very tall either. So when you look over and you just see like... a 3'5"
I mean, how
twins running at you think those are children? Those are children
when
running at me.
When Full House ends, how old was Michelle in that? She wasn't like fucking doing cocaine and flying planes, right? She was still like 10. She was still small.
Are you talking about the good
final
question?
Season
These are a lot of good
Full
questions.
House.
Don't let me forget to ask you guys if you've watched the Friends reunion yet, because me and
Steve were talking about that. I have lots to say about that, and that plays into the TV question.
We should absolutely
The
talk
eighth
about
and final season of Full House was 95. So, like, when the... Oh, here, this is the cover, but I can just look at that, I guess. Hold on. Yeah, like, see, the Olsen twins are still small as shit on this. So, like, of course, like look, it feels here. Like they're always young.
Look at the Google all three of them right now and tell me that Elizabeth Olsen isn't their adult, and these are her two children.
Send it to Kevin so we can see. Olsen family. What do you got here?
Okay, I'll get this.
Damn, no, you're right. I don't know if it's the one you're going to bring up, but I'm looking at a MaryClaire.com photo. And yeah, no, she definitely seems to be the adult of the group.
Family.
Hold on, I gotta figure. I'm still navigating this PC. There you go.
Still navigating. Is it that much different?
I just thought my hotkeys, oh. my hotkeys.
Now, okay, to be clear, I agree with you, Nick, in their adult ages. She looks older than them. I thought you were talking about, like, with what we just watched and, like,
Era. So I was talking about what we just watched, but I think I'm bringing in the adult, my adult perception into what we just watched. So you're right.
Sure, we knew where they were going.
Because I grew up watching that shit. So she was always the little sister. Like, yeah, that was clear. Whereas, now it's like she's taller and, you know, height goes a long way.
I mean, that's all that matters. Some would say height's all that matters in life.
So the tally agenda would say that, but
it's a bullshit tally agenda.
Tally agenda.
Fucking tallies. Man, what a talented family. There's a lot of Olsons, by the way. I just Googled Olsen
twins. There's a lot of Olsons.
How many Olsons
or Wahlbergs?
I don't know. That's a great question, Tim. I was just going to ask you that. So I'm going to Google this real quick. How many Olsons are
Andy, start prepping next week's thumbnail. We're sorry about the last week's episode. We're sorry about the Wahlbergs.
How many Olsons are there? So right now, how many Olsen twins are there? Well, I don't. How many fucking Olsen twins? The answer's in the question, idiot. Who would answer that question? How many Olsen siblings are there? Let's see.
How many Olsen twins there are, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you about patreon.com/kindoffunny. Of course, over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can ask us questions just like Grant Burton did, and I have another one stemmed to come up. There's another one coming up after that too. Of course, you could be watching live, just like everyone who agreed with me about the Olsen twins, such as Jeff L, who said agreed. You know what I mean? And then Keegan Hill says, clip it. Don't clip that. I told you not to do that. That's the opposite of what I'm trying to say. You know what I mean? And then Torbanox says, very toilet toad-like, and I'm not going to touch that one. If you, ladies and gentlemen, want to be a part of the show and all that stuff, I just said patreon.com/kindoffunny, where you can get the post show too. But more importantly, that's where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, Greg Way, let's hear about our sponsors. This podcast is brought to you by Babbel. For most of us, learning a second language in high school or college wasn't exactly a high point in our academic careers. I thought I could take French 3, and my teacher was like, you're really not committed enough to French to take French 3. You shouldn't try. And I was like, I got this. And I took French 3 and I dropped it within a week. And it was because I was getting my butt kicked and I wasn't understanding it. But now, thanks to Babbel, the number one selling language learning app, there's an addictively fun and easy way to learn a new language. Whether you'll be traveling abroad, connecting in a deeper way with family, hey, ding, 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 that's me, or you just have some free time, Babbel teaches bite-sized language lessons that you'll actually use in the real world. Babbel's 15-minute lessons make it a perfect way to learn a new language on the go. I have the app. I have started using it. I'm trying to get better to talk to my French-Canadian wife, whose first language is French and didn't learn English till way later in her life. And I'm trying to be a better husband so I can talk to my in-laws. And Babbel's helping. Babbel designs their courses with practical real-world conversations in mind. Things you'll get to use in everyday life. Other language learning apps use AI for their lesson plans, but Babbel lessons were created by over 100 language experts. Their teaching method has been scientifically proven to be effective. With Babbel, you can choose from 14 different languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, and German. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you improve your pronunciation and accent. I could probably use it for English as well. Start your new language learning journey today with Babbel. Right now, when you purchase a 3-month Babbel subscription, you'll get an additional 3 months for free. That's 6 months for the price of 3. Just go to Babbel.com and use the promo code MORNING. That's Babbel.com. Code MORNING for an extra 3 months free. Babbel, language for life.
Greg, I've been hearing recently, and by hearing, I mean been tweeted at a lot recently, not with toilet toads, sure, but with toilet Tims.
That's a great thing. That's got to be a great thing.
I don't remember that.
It must have been an offshoot, because again, as Kevin would always say, that's how our humor works. Is sure, we find one thing that makes us laugh. Guess what, guys? Next week we're graduating from Ass Bush. We're gonna talk about Navel Bush or something. Yeah, it's just gonna be the same fucking
chair. Belly button Bush. That's bad when it gets
the belly button.
Exactly. That shit, we gotta get the nair naturally, guys.
Here's what I'll say though, Tim, you're absolutely right, but it's a very special thing when it comes from Greg, because you can tell when it's mine, I can tell when it's yours, Tim, because obviously we know how to go to each other. Greg comes from a different angle on a lot of this stuff.
And don't fuck it satanic, but like I'm gonna say it's not satanic.
It's, you know, not what I mean? Of, let's put it this way, Tim. Mm-hmm. If there's three planes of existence, right? There's the upper plane, there's the plane we're on right now. Greg's comes from the lower plane for sure. His comes from the lower plane. Like when he was like, I just log on one day and everyone's like, ask Nick if he's the clown prince of Kind of Funny. And I'm like, that's got to be a Greg thing, right? And people are spamming well, yeah,
it's,
it constantly.
It's clearly, it's just a fucking, come on now, man. It's just it's a Batman reference. You know what I mean? Come on.
I totally understand that. But the way they say it and the way it's phrased and the way they come at you with such aggression is always just, I'm like, I can feel Greg behind this, right? There's a disturbance in the force. And I look back and you just go, hey, yes. Yes.
When Greg reaches for something, he always says he goes to the dark void.
No, I mean, Kevin, we can all agree Greg is driven mostly by Lucifer.
First off, I go to the void is what I say. And when I need black extra help, I go to the dark one. Right? So let's not confuse. Here's the thing. The void, guess what? Over here, right here, there's the void, right? Where I reach into with whatever reference I want to make. You know what's happening in the void? You know what's on the other side of the void? We don't fucking know. It's like a Goosebumps novel. Maybe it's a blessing. Maybe it's a curse. You don't know. You're reaching in doing it. You never, you've seen it happen. I reach in, I pull it, I throw it. I go, wait, I shouldn't say that. I'm sorry. And I try to bring it back. When you bargain with the void, that's what happens. Now, when I need to work at Nidhogg, you know what I mean? Dark one. That's what you're going to be doing. But again, let's not put labels on it. The dark one doesn't need to be a bad guy. Batman's, he's a dark one. you got anybody else?
Were there more of the kid?
We're on slide 7 of 20 for the MCU cast.
Oh, yeah. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, let's go back to that, Kev. Please bring it up.
Five, by the way.
Next up, we have Paul Bettany in Wycliffe.
What the hell's that?
Never seen it. Thought Paul Bettany was in Big Lebowski as one of the German guys. He's not. There's just another tall, lanky guy.
But he was in Wimbledon. Great fucking movie. Great with the movie. Dunst.
Completely
Smash Brothers with us. Smash the Dunst.
Then we got next up Don Cheadle in
Love
Fame.
Don Cheadle.
And it's that's Don fucking Cheadle. You know what I mean?
I just watched Endgame and then Infinity War. Don't ask me why I watched
it. I love you, Nick.
So don't ask me why. You know, because it was like, I just want to watch something I know is going to be great. I'm tired of starting things in 5 minutes and being like, this is not for me. So I threw on Endgame. And of course, first scene, I start crying. Second scene, I start crying. I'm sobbing through this thing so much that I actually have to close my door so Dee doesn't see me crying, even though she could tell by the amount of crying that she's like, you're watching Endgame again. Then I finish it, and I'm like, this movie's so freaking good that I need more of it. So I fire up Infinity War. Watch all of it again.
Wow. Okay. In reverse. Got it.
I think you might be the only human being in history to watch Endgame and then Infinity War. I love it.
It's not that I did it on purpose. It was that I just intended to watch Endgame, and I was like, I should have watched Infinity War first, so I just watched it. Why not?
MCU returns next week, 7 days from today. As Loki, of recording, we're getting Loki, baby. And then a little over a month away, the return of MCU movies. Can't believe it.
So good.
Can't believe it. Let's continue, Kev. This one's hilarious. Robert Downey Jr.
Oh my God.
1970 in a movie called Pound.
How old is he here?
He's probably like four.
Yeah, like five, something like four that. Or five. Yeah.
Tiny.
Crazy.
And he's had a crazy long career.
Robert Downey Jr., born 1965. So yeah, 5 years old. Wow. Wow.
Next up, Chris Hemsworth in a movie called Neighbors with a U. In 2002.
Oh, it's some Australian thing. You know what I mean?
Can we take a minute and just have Kevin pull up that photo?
Oh yeah,
of Thor: Love and Thunder, real quick, just so we
sure, can sure on Flex Day or whatever, right?
Yeah, because it like legitimately breaks my brain. Kev, if you go to Instagram and just type in like Thor, or type in Instagram Thor: Love and Thunder, Chris Hemsworth arms. It's unbelievable that he got that big for this movie, and I love it. I love that everyone else is like, there it is right there. Holy shit.
But it's not in black and white, right? There's like a
it's in black and white.
Oh God,
I don't know why.
Look,
that's unreal. That's a ridiculous amount of muscle to put on. He's never been that big. Could do without the hair extensions though. Didn't
I think they're gonna explain away him being fat. Is it just going to be times fast? Do you think it's going to be like a whole thing?
Fast and he just got jacked again.
I mean, he's a god. I'm not saying he can't drop, the gut in like 2 seconds. But
it starts with like another, like this.
Oh,
the second.
Dude, do you think it starts with a fucking 80s montage? Like, I need to get my life sort of that ding, 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 ding.
I hope it does.
That'd be awesome.
Because Ragnarok started with him like talking to that like dead corpse that was next to him, right?
Hanging upside down or whatever.
Yeah, I could see it starting in the same way.
I have no, I don't even know what Thor Love and Thunder is about, but
no one does.
It's going to be great.
It's Natalie Portman, right?
No,
yeah, she takes over the moniker or no?
Yeah.
Do we know?
Yeah. That's what they said was going to happen. Jane Foster was going to pick up the hammer.
Good for her. Good for her
indeed. Who's next?
Next up is Mark Ruffalo looking like Nick.
Oh my God.
The guy from Hereditary.
It's Daniel LaRusso. Tell me that doesn't look like Daniel motherfucking the Karate Kid LaRusso. No, Tim,
do you want to know where I went with that? Over the weekend, again, this is what I do in my spare time. Fired up Pitch Perfect. Why, Tim? Because it's one of the best fucking movies ever made. That's why.
Started with two, then went to one. No.
I just straight up. I don't love the other Pitch Perfect movies. I think three is redeemable, but two, I remember being very boring. Long story short, the whole movie I'm watching this, I'm like, why did they cast this guy as the love interest and then this other actor that looks exactly like him as the dorky magician kid? Mm-hmm. This guy looks like Mark Ruffalo in this picture, looks like a combination of both of those people.
Interesting. Dorky magician kid having quite the moment right now.
Dorky magician kid, great voice. And don't fucking think that I didn't blare that on the way to my boat show, that last montage. And I'll say this right now, Tim, I'm going to throw this out there. Troublemakers had the better set. They should have won that competition. They did.
Yeah, that is true.
Magic in me, Greg. Oh, come on.
So good.
So good.
Next up, we got
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Silent Witness.
Same hair as always. Weird.
Same everything.
Yeah, he looks pretty similar.
Then Zoe Saldana in Law and Order.
Law and Order, 1999. Okay.
If you go through the list of people that were in Law and Order through the years, it's literally everyone. Everyone has guessed it on that show.
30 years, right?
Yeah, it's been three series. So, but even just the main one, like you'll be watching shit, you'll be like, is that fucking like Anne Hathaway? Like, what's going on with all this?
Then we got Chris Pratt in The Huntress, and it's like this motherfucker. I love it. I love that he is as big as he is now.
I know.
Good for him.
I remember first seeing him in Wanted and being like, this guy is a great asshole.
Wanted.
Not a good movie.
Dead or Alive.
Great comic book.
Wait, when Wanted, are you talking about the one where they curve bullets?
Yeah.
Who is he in that?
He plays the asshole that's banging James McAvoy's girlfriend.
Oh, his like best friend, right?
Remember, he's like, dude, we're best friends. And then he comes in, like, and then eventually, when he gets his powers,
fuck.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There he is. Shit, right? I forgot all about that.
There he is.
Wanted, man, that was a fun movie.
It was fun, but I was like, did you read the comic book?
Way better. Yeah.
So played the game, too, brother. Played the game, too.
Oh, was it good?
I didn't know there was a game.
Of course. Wow. It came out right around the movie, and it was based on the comic, so it was confusing, but it was fun.
Got it.
The next up we have Tom Hiddleston in the most Tom Hiddleston looking ass outfit I've ever seen. The Life and Adventures of Nicholas Nickleby.
Mm. There it is.
There it is.
And next to what's
his butt my from God, this next one is insane, guys. Jeremy Renner.
National Senior Trip. 1995.
This is the most unrecognizable one of all of them.
That's
it's not a great screenshot of him. I don't know. Kevin, can we watch the trailer or will that get us in trouble?
I mean, we've watched every other trailer, so why not? Why not, Craig?
All right, then.
Why not?
Kevin's go ahead and do it, because I think in like right here, the freeze frame, they have an IMDb for the trailer that you look at that and go, oh, that's Jeremy Renner.
Okay.
But the image here, this is like, I think they caught him, you know, mid-move.
Mid-move.
That's always an eye situation. I do want to say, I'd love to watch. I don't remember this one at all, and I'm sure it's awful. To embarrass his rival, a scheming senator uses nitwit Ohio teens who are invited to Washington gathering on educational failure. That's the description on IMDb. I don't think anyone's proofread this or updated it recently.
I don't think anyone cares.
Jeremy Renner does. So now what do you say?
Good point.
People think that we're nothing but a generation of losers. Sitting on our butts, playing video games, and watching MTV. That's not true!
National Lampoon's Senior Trip.
Let's party!
The seniors of Fairmont High are on their way to Washington. Washington.
Come on, hop in.
Let's do some van damage.
See, he looks normal there. Yeah. Oh my god, I actually remember that. Let's do some van damage.
I'm here to save you.
Huh? Oh my god, I've seen this movie.
Have you really?
Yeah, because that guy, like,
I must have seen
has a very this is not, so Greg Miller 2021 storyline.
Friday night.
Yeah, this really is definitely hard. One we all like rented. That's... We all rented. And like that's... you watch over and over again. Like, oh, and I'm sure we did see some titties, but I'm sure that's what we were doing in junior high.
I would never know this is Hawkeye.
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that this is him either.
Okay.
That's well then. Crazy.
There you go. My apologies, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you for apologizing. That's very dope.
I thought it was just a bad screen grab. You know what I mean? But it turns out you guys can't picture Jeremy Renner.
And the Olsen twins don't like smiling in their photos. I'm trying to find one picture of these twins smiling.
They're right not now. Happy.
They just don't do it.
Are it's that thing happy? Where, you know, it they pivoted really hard, Nick, where they grew up, again, in the Full House phase, having to smile all the time. And then once they became adults, once they became women, they were like, we're over that. And like, this will define the next phase of our life.
Yeah, they don't smile ever. They just look like they're always looking kind of scared.
That's the style, man.
Be where they're
a lot
at.
Going on with them.
I think it might be the cocaine.
Oh,
next up, we've got Paul Rudd.
I mean, why even look? It's Paul Rudd. It's Paul Rudd.
God, he looks exactly the same.
Is that Paul Rudd from now or Paul Rudd from 40 years ago? It doesn't matter. It's Paul Rudd.
What an angel.
What an unbelievable snuff at the Friends reunion, you know?
Snub.
What did I say? Oh, snuff is what they kill people.
You said snuff like a snuff film where...
Snub.
Yeah.
What, okay. What a terrible... There were two big snubs we'll get into.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. This game, if we're, you know, we'll see. It's Tim's show. If we don't make it to the Friends reunion on air, we'll get there in the post show. But I agree.
Well, we got two left. Here we got Brie Larson on the left.
Oh.
Little itty bitty thing on the Tonight Show with Jay Leno. And then...
Wait, finally, Goonies was Josh Brolin's first film?
Hmm? First credited role.
Wow.
Kills it in it, too.
He's great, Nick. Yeah. He plays the older brother. That's an asshole. He's perfect.
He has to ride the bike, remember, to go get him when they all go.
And then he flies off the thing. And he's in this costume.
Dude, the guy almost kills him, remember? They like they
the guy almost the guy should go to jail for fucking murder, attempted murder.
You saw him and his wife dressed like that for Halloween or something, right?
Yeah.
Great stuff.
I had to stop following them on Instagram, though, because they get really naked a lot. And I open Instagram a lot. Nice. And they're always posting naked pictures of themselves. Like, artistic.
They are. That's accurate. That is accurate.
I was like, I gotta stop following this.
Sorry,
and I don't have any aversion to it. Josh Brolin and his wife—they're always in the desert, just naked.
This is not a Nick thing. He's not lying. This actually happened. This actually happens. Josh Brolin and his wife love being naked, and God bless them. You know what I mean? I'm not here to rain on your parade. You want to be naked? You're both gorgeous people. Even if you're not gorgeous people,
tell you what—if you like your body and you want to show it off, go to the nearest Walmart. There it is.
Nick always finds a way. We're always skirting the line. And it's just always Nick being like, I'm jumping in, guys.
Literally, I open, as of recording this, I open up Josh Brolin's Instagram for the first time in forever, right? And the second thing is here, he's dropped his pants and he's on his daughter's like first-time potty thing. You know what I mean? Trying to share his cool.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. Again, I think it's hilarious. I just got to...
I'm slacking you, not assets. I'm slacking you a picture from his Instagram I'd like you to bring up.
You want me to bring it up?
What they're talking about? Please show this. Yeah. Yes, this is from Josh Brolin's Instagram. He says, I don't remember having this photograph taken, but then again, there are a lot of things I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't.
That's that thick booty.
There's just a tiny bit of Thanos testicle sticking out there. No, like, I know it's Photoshop and it's not real, but.
Back balls.
Those are some back balls that we're looking at right there.
Back balls popping off over
here.
There's
a picture of him on the potty right underneath.
Yeah, we could look at that too. But
it's him having fun with his body, Kevin. You know, not everybody is that ashamed as you are.
You don't have to keep it indoors all the time. Let that cat out.
Not everybody has to be in a tank top all the time. You know what I mean?
Let that cat out, you just said.
He's trying to support you. He's trying to show you.
I'm trying to support you, Kevin. Support you.
God, he just does do a lot of naked photos.
God bless him.
God bless him.
I'm gonna pull one up. Look at this. Ready?
Yeah, go for it.
That man looks comfortable. That man's enjoying his life. That man looks comfortable. I can't wait to get to that point in my life.
Oh, dude, Kevin, if you and I, if I got jacked, if I looked like him shirtless, like if I could put that much work into myself and I cared that much and I looked that good, you guys would, it would be only nude photos on Instagram of me. Only.
Thank God you're not.
Only. That would be, Tim would be like, I had to mute Nick again. He's posting pictures of his back bush again.
Oh, God. There
I've got the magic in Tim.
Can I end on one question that plays into the Tim Geddes podcast?
Of course.
This one comes from Angel Darth Youngboy. Writes into patreon.com/kindoffunny and says, sup, kinda funny crew. I was wondering what universe you would want to be part of between the Star Wars universe and the MCU. I would personally want to be part of the MCU because Wanda's been looking lonely and I could envision us together. Also, what powers do you want if you had to pick between Star Wars or via Jedi or Sith? Thanks for reading. Angel Darth Youngboy. Now, here's what I like about this question, and maybe it says something about me, is that when Angel Darth Youngboy presented the question and I read it at first glance, I immediately say MCU, but I also, in both things, think I'm just a person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's any I like to remove this whole thing. I want to be with in this because I can envision me and Wanda together. Sir, you are never meeting Wanda in this universe. You are a normal person who probably works your same job and giant fucking aliens come and smash up your city all the time. Like, I think that there's a far greater likelihood of us showing up in either universe and just being normal selves.
Yeah. You might meet Hawkeye, but probably not Wanda.
I don't even think we'd do that. I don't even think we'd meet Hawkeye.
Like, don't you think there's a higher chance that you will be born with, like, midichlorian count that's a little higher?
Well, I mean, yeah, there's a higher chance because, like, yeah. I have no chance of that happening here. And you mean actually in the conversation? My apologies, Donnie.
Yeah. Instead of, I don't know, whatever unique ability.
Yeah. Whatever, you know, MCU. Millions of dollars or, you know, serum you're going to get in the MCU. Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. Like, I feel like we're talking about Greg Miller here. So the way that this works is simple. We're talking about Greg Miller and the MCU, not just Marvel as a whole. So all Greg needs to do is get kind of close to Tony Stark. We're working a little bit weird with time frame. But I guess technically, it's 2021. So we have 4 years until he dies, right?
Sure.
In the timeline. So you just need to meet him. He's the source of the majority of motherfuckers getting power somehow, villain or otherwise. We all know, but Greg is pulling into that void. He's not going to be a good guy.
You already know what's going to happen. You can already see, you can say this from a mile away or see it from a mile away, right? If I get dropped in, if I wake up in the MCU, I'm going to want the power so much and want to be close so much. I'm becoming a syndrome type person. I'm the one who's like, oh, well, I know that Oscorp is, you know, however Spider-Man in this universe gets his powers, is got, you know, this stuff. I'll go get there. I get bit. I'm the motherfucker who ends up with like fucking six arms. I'm the guy who turns into Man Bat. I'm, you know what I mean? I'm trying to do it. It doesn't go right. I get one movie where they have to beat my ass, throw me in the raft, then maybe I get to come back. It's me, it's Scorpion, it's Batman 89, we're just fucking shit up, maybe, but probably not. Or I'm just a guy who gets bit by the radioactive spider and dies of cancer, you know what I mean?
Nothing. Yeah, fun. You're that guy. Like,
that's the thing. I've thought about it, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to know that I say this with, you know, as much humility as I can muster, and you know what I mean, knowing exactly who Greg Miller is. But I always think of, like, man, it'd be awesome if I, you know, for me, DC Comics, right? If I woke up in the DC universe, or the universe existed and like Green Lanterns were a thing. And then I stop and think, and I'm like, I would not get a ring. I'm not the person in this sector who has the most willpower. As I sit here, just fucking fat, not exercising, eating whatever I want. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I wake up hungover and I'm like, why do I drink? I should never drink again. And right. And then what do? I end up drinking again. Fucking Guardians aren't going to see this shit. Send me the fucking ring. Honestly, the way I act and the void and shit is as pure hearted as much as I try to be like Superman. I'm probably more likely to get a Sinestro ring. I'm probably, mm-hmm. Somebody's going to show up and be like, we hear you really want powers. You could have this. You're going to fucking instill fear in a lot of people. And I'm like, better to have something than nothing. You know what
exactly,
I mean? And then
exactly.
I'm putting skeletons in Nick's closet every night.
I'm like, fuck, why are there orange skeletons in my closet every night? It's starting to anger my wife.
Yellow brother.
But see, this is my point, Greg, is that Tony Stark is in the MCU kind of the reason that a lot of the villains become villains, or at least get superpowers of any sort, because they just steal Stark tech. So what's going to happen is you're going to try to get Tony Stark on a podcast in Greg Miller MCU world. It's not going to work out. And then we've proven today how much power you have tweeting. We want to know how many degrees of separation are between us and Liza Minnelli. Go.
A lot of good answers.
A lot of good answers, but we're not getting connections. You know what I mean? So you're going to try to do that with Tony Stark. You're not going to get there. But guess what, Greg? I bet you can get some Sam Rockwell. You know what I mean? Justin Hammer.
Totally. Oh, yeah.
You get in with him. Next thing you know, you get some shitty armor, but at least you got armor. You're causing some damage. You're a bad guy doing bad stuff in the bad streets of the MCU.
I mean, you can look. I just sent it to Kevin here. You want to toss this in there? Like, how many degrees of separation we are? What, one? I just sent the image over. It's Anthony Rapp with Liza Minnelli. All right? Wow. So, I mean, I'm looking to see a kind of funny best friend who, like, yeah, is like, you know, Liza Minnelli's maid or something like that. But I'm just letting you know that, like,
that's real
right
close.
There. We're close. You know what I mean? Anyways, back to it. I'm sorry.
I love
Tim,
this.
What do you want to be? You want to be in the MCU or you want to be in Star Wars? No power. Yeah, no promise of powers.
Yeah, I'm with you because it's like, I ain't getting fucking powers. So which universe
Dude,
am I
Star Wars would
in?
Suck the most.
Star Wars universe sucks.
I've been thrown into this. I wanted to be in the Star Wars universe. It's me, our angel, Darth Youngboy. I got my wish. I'm going to Star Wars land. Boop. And you show up there and you're not a Jedi. You're not a Sith. You're just working on some shitty fucking sand planet. You know what I mean? It's disgusting. There's no like soap or running water in this place. That's you got a bunch of weird, snotty green characters walking around all the time.
I mean,
I'd beg a stormtrooper to try to shoot me.
I've seen a lot of Star Wars stuff. I've read Star Wars comics. I've read books. Yeah. I've watched shows. I've watched the movies, obviously, played games and stuff. There's never been a single city on a single planet that I'm like, that's a Tim Getty's lifestyle type thing. I think Kamino's probably closest where the clones are. Everything's bright white and there's not much going on. White and blue, that's it. But it's just like, yeah, now besides that,
all right, before Coruscant gets
Kevin, come close to your microphone. It sounds like you're leaning way far back.
Yeah, I was. My bad. Before Coruscant gets blown up, like a planet-sized city, come on.
Yeah, but like the thing is,
Coruscant's fucking awesome. You want to live in Naboo?
There's more
seedy
underbelly. Too much seedy underbelly, too much democracy, too much.
Tim, there's a lot of seedy. There's a lot of gross. Well, yeah, it got blown up. There's a lot of right. Coruscant gets blown up in the
everything got blown up. They blew up.
Right?
Like, remember, they had the one thing that was split into 10 things and blew up every like planet, and now all that's left are space stations and drugs.
I think it was just the planets. Really?
That was the Hoisan system. Of course,
well, it was so well laid out that it was hard to forget what planets got. You know,
wait, Hoisan isn't that the brand that makes sriracha?
The sauce. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
It's also the name of the district of planets.
But all right. So you wouldn't want to live on Coruscant? Like that place looked dope. Like
no,
because
you, Kev, you were about you were getting to the point.
Bounty Hunter.
You were getting to the point that San Francisco also has seedy underbelly.
Yep.
It has elements of that, but it also has a lot of other good things. Coruscant doesn't. We've never seen that. We've only seen either bars that you're going to get shanked in. Or roofied for sure, or a bunch of government motherfuckers being assholes with special powers and religion.
Well, here's Jetster's diner though.
You got to play sweater. You're gonna see a lot more prettier sides of Star Wars.
And you're also gonna see a lot of deserts you got to live in, and you got all these crazy Siths just running up killing.
That's the thing. You don't have to live on it. Like you can take transport, move somewhere else, sell a couple death sticks, make your fortune.
I'm living here, Marvel Universe, because nothing changes.
Everything blows up all the time. Out
there. Yeah, that's the thing. Is like, yeah, maybe we did the whole episode where we snapped people. You know what I mean?
They came back.
Yeah, we didn't know.
You didn't know that at the time,
though. Yeah, but your wife's gotten remarried. You know what I mean?
You get snapped. It's heartbreaking. You come back. Nothing happened.
Wait for me.
Also, you might get cool mutant powers. Like, I get to regenerate stuff. And I have thicker hair.
The counterpoint to the like, there's bad things in both. Like planets are just destroyed on the regular in Star Wars, and like just destroyed. Like Alderaan is gone.
Alderaan and like seven other planets got blown up.
The big downside for Star Wars is that every 7 years, a like Nazi-esque empire comes to power, and then you have to live under that regime. Mm-hmm. Whereas here, we're golden, man. We got Biden. We're good. We voted him.
You think Biden's the MCU? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, Biden's empty. I mean, Biden's definitely not the empire. I don't think, unless you're depending on what.
Yeah, but we just got done with 4 years of Donald Trump.
Exactly, dude. We got him out of there, right? Rebellion. We rebel. This is a rebellion, right? We rebel.
Not even in the movie. Not even in the fucking movie.
Cool line.
Yeah, they cut
Instead,
it out.
She was
they
like,
Gary Whitta.
It's like, hope done.
This is like, it sounds like a really bad John Lennon impression you're doing.
It's Beatles. Really bad. Frank, I want you to know that it went from being Star Wars to being Ygritte from Game of Thrones. Like, let me start. It started with Biden and then somehow ended up with Ygritte from Game of Thrones. So it's been a long week, guys.
Been a long week of content. I was on Josh McCuga's positivity report.
It's a 4-day week.
Yeah, it was brutal. Brutal day. Brutal day for me.
Brutal out here.
Ladies and gentlemen. This has been the Kind of Funny podcast. Each and every week, four, sometimes three best friends gather on this table, coming to bullshit about whatever it is they want to bullshit about. If you like that, of course, you should be part of the show. Patreon.com/kindoffunny. Of course, over there, you can get the show live. You could be watching as recorded. You could write in to be part of the show. You can get the show ad free, and you can get the post show we're about to do. That's all about what, Nick?
Friends. The Friends Reunion.
We're talking about the Friends Reunion. We're going to talk about the Friends Reunion over there. If you have no bucks tossed away, it's no big deal. You can get each and every episode on youtube.com/kindoffunny. You get on podcast services around the globe. Of course, no post show. You got to do the ads, but no big deal. You're still having fun and it's free. No matter where you get the show, please consider like, subscribe, sharing, leave a review, hit the notification bell, do all the bells and whistles to help us get the podcast to other people. For now, we have to talk about the Friends Reunion. But until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.